I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello there and welcome to the Thursday, the 12th of May edition of the Irish Farmers Journal Farming News podcast. I'm Barry Murphy, news correspondent here on the team. We have our beef editor Adam Woods and my news colleagues Declan O'Brien, Rachel Donovan and Noel Barden on the line here with us today with a lot to get through. Input costs may be still squeezing farm incomes, but Adam will tell us how beef prices are reaching record levels, and we also look at further increasing the prices processors are paying for milk. News correspondent Declan O'Brien looks at the carbon targets to be set for the agricultural sector as negotiations between the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Environment kick off this week. Declan also looks at the FBD windfall set for shareholders and a dispute between the IFA's Forestry Committee and the commercial wing of the farm organisation. Noel brings us an update from this week's IFA pig protests in four locations across the country, while Rachel explains why sex semen is in high demand. Rachel will also bring us a report from the Irish Rural Link Conference and tells us why a decline in turf use may lead to rural fuel poverty. And finally, we'll hear from the Livestock Team's Niamh Gunn, who speaks to Chelsea Cox MacDonald, the new secretary of the FBD National Livestock Show in Tullamore in Jim Guigan's farm in County Westmeath. A news for the paper on the shelves this week, so lots to get through. First up, folks, we'll bring in beef editor Adam Woods, who is with us to discuss how beef prices are continuing to reach record levels this week, and in particular, how the March trade for live cattle is really moving. Adam, I know we've been looking at this over the last few podcasts, but prices are still only going one direction. What's causing it and how long will it continue?
Yeah, I guess it's just a perfect storm of supply and demand, Barry, in terms of where we're going. You know, finished cattle are in really tight supply and there's really good demand coming from the UK and coming from Europe. And that's leaving, look at the price of cattle, very, very good. We've seen in the last 10 days, factories have had to move to marts to source finished supplies of cattle. And that's left mart cattle a lot more expensive in the last sort of week or 10 days. You know, we've done some analysis this week looking at Marfield's data and looking at factory prices, and we're estimating somewhere between 150 and 200 euros of a premium to be had in Marts at the moment, because there's factories around the ring and they're really desperate to get finished cattle. So that's filtering through to the price. And look at this, it's pretty positive. It's going to be positive. Factories are quite anxious about supplies in June and July. Speaking to some of our northern people on the livestock team here, Mealy says really, really positive in the north, really, really positive in Scotland. So there's nothing on the horizon at the moment, I don't think, to affect the cattle trade, and it looks pretty positive.
Spot on, Adam. Look, and I know our deputy editor, Jack Kennedy, is reporting on page one as well that milk prices are reaching record levels, with prices never before seen for this time of year. Lakeland has been the first out of the traps with setting a price of 47.5 cent a litre, excluding VAT. And look, I think it's all coming down to a squeeze on global dairy supply, as input costs and additional regulations are making things difficult for some of the bigger dairy exporting countries. More on that one on page one with from our deputy editor, Jack Folks. But look, just in terms of yourself, Adam, look, I won't ask you to speak on the dairy side, but you also have the latest on these new vet medicine regulations on page four. We got news there on Friday last of a postponement of the regulations. What's going on there?
Yeah, so this is in relation to, I guess, the new veterinary prescribing system for farmers, that it was to be from the 1st of June that farmers would need to get an electronic prescription from their vet to use dosing products on their farm. That has been extended by another 6 months. out to the 1st of December. And the reason for that, I guess, the system isn't in place. There'd be an IT system in terms of a backlog there in terms of developing the system. Vets have to install this app, we'll say, on their phone, on the computer system to enable them to electronically prescribe dosing products and also, we'll say, antimicrobials on farms. Look, this is good news for farmers because really we weren't ready for this new system. Vets weren't ready, merchants weren't ready, and farmers weren't ready. So this, the next 6 months now, the department really has to, you know, work hard and engage with all the stakeholders, engage with merchants, engage with vets, engage with farmers to make sure that everybody knows when it comes to the 1st of December. This legislation is coming, but we need to be really well prepared for it. We don't want any confusion out there on farms. We don't want confusion with vets. And we need to have the best system, I guess, in place coming up to next December.
Thanks, Adam. Heading to yourself, Dec, next. Dec, you report on page 3 that a crucial battle over the carbon emissions targets to be set for agriculture has commenced this week. Negotiations are ongoing between Minister Charlie McConlogue and his coalition colleague, Minister Eamon Ryan. Firstly, you might explain for listeners who'd have thought this was all done and dusted with the launch of the climate plan last year, how the emissions targets are still yet to be finalised. And look, I suppose there's still a lot to go through with these targets. Are we going to see a real deadlock between the two sides, or will there be some give from either party?
Well, it looks like it's going to be a titanic battle between agriculture and the Department of the Environment and Climate Change. As part of this process, originally ranges were set for each sector, for energy, for agriculture, for transport. And agriculture's range was 22% reduction in emissions, 30%. So if it was to fall in between that range, that was the initial target. But now they've come to a point where they want specific targets, where they've actually got to nail their colours to a mast. Agriculture is saying, OK, we have the technology in the MAC curve to go close enough, maybe to 18%, maybe a bit more. And they're saying, with new technologies coming on, we might make to 22 by 2030. But Eamon Ryan's department is saying, no, we've got, if the country is to come in under 51% by 2030, which is the national target, everybody is going to be at the upper end of the ranges. And that is just not sustainable, agriculture is saying, for farming at the moment. It'll just cause too much dislocation in the sector. It's a massive ask. And the battle now is between those which are nearly polar opposites, really. And I think politically it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be extremely difficult for the coalition to deal with, because if you take it that our baseline emissions are 22 million tonnes, if we've got to get a 22% reduction on that, that means bringing it down close enough to 5 million tonnes of a reduction between here and the end of the decade. A 30% reduction is 6.6 million tonnes, which is just, if you think that we will struggle to hit 20 as things are at the moment. So they're saying what the politician or what farmers are saying is this has to be held at 22. Whether it can be or not is yet to be seen. And the political aspect to this was illustrated last week at the Fine Gael agricultural gathering, where Leo Varadkar weighed into the argument by saying that no farmer will have to lose livestock or reduce output to meet these targets. Now, whether that was just an initial positioning by the IFA or by the Fine Gael is difficult to say, but it just illustrates the political angst that this is going to cause for the government.
Definitely one they're going to clash horns on, I'd say, Dec, anyway, look, one to watch. You also report on page 5 news of an FBD windfall for shareholders and the IFA. It's a complex enough one. How are shareholders going to benefit?
Well, it just comes on the back of strong results by FBD. You know, the group profits before tax have hit 110 million this year. the AGM of the of FBD Holdings, the insurance companies, today. And what one of the proposals is that they give a dividend of €1 per share. Now, given that the IFA have 500,000 shares, that's a 500,000 windfall for the IFA. But there's also 4,400 farmer shareholders in Farmer Business Development's sister company. They will be getting $8.5 million of a dividend windfall. You've got individual farmers that obviously have a shareholding themselves, and you've got the FBD Trust, which is in line to get $3 million. So all told, it's going to come to $12 million to the wider farmer organization family. But it's going to be broader than that. It it is going to seep out into the wider agriculture, you know, because there is a lot of farmers who still have individual shares as well in FBD. So it's good news in a year in which input prices have gone through the roof. Maybe this will soften the blow.
Definitely, I could see a lot of people welcoming that anyway. And just one final bit from yourself, Dec. You also report to speak on a bit of a rift developing between the IFA Forestry Committee and the commercial wing of the farm organisation. Why are the Forestry Committee unhappy?
Well, they feel that they've been excluded from a negotiation that's been ongoing between the management at IFA and Trade for Us, which is an online forum that has established a platform for trading timber products, and that are looking to do a joint venture with IFA. Now, this dispute is really an internal IFA dispute, and it's all about communication. And the Forestry Committee, while nobody, because there was a non-disclosure agreement around this particular joint venture, it's difficult to get the nuts and bolts of the agreement. But there is serious anger within the Forestry Committee that they were effectively blindsided in these negotiations. And they're saying, well, look, if it happened with any other forestry or any other commodity committee within the IFA, they'd be held to pay. But so that they're saying, well, that they're not going to rubber stamp just any agreement on a joint venture. And also they're saying, look, farmers, there is a lot of timber going to be coming on stream because of the heavy plantings in the early 90s of forestry. And they're saying, we have got to position ourselves, farmers have got to position themselves correctly and be able to deal with everybody and anybody who's buying timber. And they're afraid that this joint venture may in some way inhibit that happening. Now, there is no talk of exclusivity in this in the joint venture, but I think really it comes down to communication and they're not being informed of this deal and just how it would stack up and what it meant for private forestry owners.
Thanks, Dec. Look, you can see why they're unhappy anyway. Be interested to see where that one goes. Just heading to Noel Barton next, folks. Noel, you've been out again at the latest pig protest that the IFA has been holding this week. They've been targeting pig meat processors, asking for increases in the prices they receive. I saw some very clear posters from the pig committee showing that only 13% of the margin on a pig goes to the farmer. Firstly, you might run through the protest locations and then tell us what they were protesting about and how they got on.
Yeah, Barry. So there were four protests held on Tuesday by the IFA's pig committee, where protesters would have gathered from 6 a.m. at Carthy Meats in Athlone, Pilgrims in County Wicklow, Oak Park Foods and Care, and Conley's Pork and Bacon in County Monaghan. And at each of these protests, the IFA were seeking a commitment from these processors, who are all secondary processors, rather than being the primary processors or the factories where farmers would send their pigs to be slaughtered. So they were seeking a commitment from these four processors that they would cooperate with the primary processors to deliver farmer price rises before June. And the price rises that they were seeking would have been to take pig prices up from where they are now, which would be about €1.68 a kilo, up to €2 a kilo. And they very much emphasized that they would want this price rise before June. The IFA have said that they had fairly good cooperation with the factories. They met with management out of all of them, and they would have been down in Carles of Tullamore last Thursday on a similar kind of protest. And the farmers who were involved in the negotiations with the management of these processing units did say that it seemed like there was a willingness there on the processors' behalf to help farmers and to get them through the unprecedented situation that they're facing at the minute. They said there was an understanding of farmer difficulties. Some of those involved in the IFA delegation's meeting said that it really was when farmers were able to tell their stories and give the human side to the whole pig sector crisis that they could see that factories kind of came forward with a willingness to seek these price increases. So there still hasn't been anything announced yet, but there is the commitment there from a lot of the processors. The IFA haven't named which ones exactly have given a commitment to try and work with the factories to deliver these price rises. But the Pigs Committee has said that they're willing to go and hold a fresh round of protests next week if there isn't any announcement tomorrow. And I suppose the Pig Committee's chair, Roy Galley, said that it could be the retailers that hold everything up in the meetings that they would have had over the past couple of weeks. It was made fairly clear to the IFA that the secondary processors couldn't look for price increases off the supermarkets unless they had something to show the supermarkets, which would be higher bills for what they were paying the primary processors. So these protests were really just trying to get the ball moving, and once a couple of the larger processors move, the IFA is fairly confident that they can secure these price rises. And if it is a thing that the retailers don't cooperate and give the secondary processors a price bump to allow this whole price rise to be funded, the IFA have said that they do have, and it was Roy Galley that said it, the sledgehammer of cutting off supermarket supply as a tool that they can use to drive home the necessity of securing these price rises. I suppose from a farmer's point of view, €2 a kilo still isn't enough to leave a positive margin. I was down at Carty Meats in Athlone, and farmers were kind of quoting prices of around €2.20 to €2.25 on what it was costing them to produce the meat. And really what they said is that the price rise up from €1.68 a kilo would just give them a little bit of extra cash. It would buy the sector a bit of time to just try and weather the storm that it's in at the minute. But it wouldn't go anywhere near putting money in the farmer's pocket at the end of the day. And again, from the farmer's point of view, they're losing about €55 a pig for every single pig that they produce. And the last pay increase that the farmers would have seen would have been back at the first week of April, when prices rose from about €1.40 a kilo up to the €1.68 a kilo where they've stayed since. And in that week in April, farmers were hit with a €40 a ton feed price increase. So that rise was eroded straight away. So the farmers are worse off now when you take feed costs into account than they were before they had seen that price rise back maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Thanks. No, look, you'd wonder will there be pigs in Ireland at all next year or in the years to come. I know you've had on there, so that's no bother. Look, heading to tip woman Rachel Donovan next. Rachel, sex semen. It was a new concept that's not been going in Ireland long, but now it seems to be getting ever more popular, particularly for use in the dairy herd. You've spoken to a number of AI companies on it. What have they been telling you?
Yeah, Barry. So I suppose overall, it's sex semen is up about 60-80% on last year. I spoke to Dove, Munster Bovine, Progressive and Eurogene. I suppose they all saw a brisk demand this spring in sex semen straws. So the general consensus then is that supplies at this stage are quite tight, but most farmers seem to have their straws ordered by now, and they were eager to get them in their tanks. I suppose most of the companies don't have exact figures yet on this year, but I suppose Seamus Hughes from Progressive Genetics told me that how he knows they're up in the region of 60-80% is because they ordered that many more straws. And he said they've a fair amount of them shifted now at this stage. So all of the AI companies also said that they saw an increase in dairy beef bulls. Joe Ryan from Dove said short gestation, easy calving bulls are what farmers want. Manager of Eurogene, Tom Baker, then told me that I suppose it was inevitable, really, the switch to sex semen, given demand, I suppose, in other countries as well. He said farmers can now breed their replacements from their best cows, and it was not necessarily just the cows who come bulling earlier in the breeding season. So overall, Barry, yeah, there's definitely a good uptake in sex semen this year, and there seems to be less Frisian bulls used and more beef being used across the board.
And sticking with you, Rachel, you have a few articles on page 11 this week from the Irish Rural Link Conference. They've called for a new purpose for rural Ireland, and they say that if the turf ban goes ahead, there'll be fuel poverty in rural Ireland. What did they tell you last Friday?
Yeah, so I was at the 30th anniversary conference of Irish Rural Link, Barry, last Friday. I spoke to CEO Seamus Boland, who told me that they are involved with 600 communities across rural towns and villages, and they have 25,000 members. I suppose their overall aim is to keep rural communities developed and give them a new purpose. That was one of the biggest challenges, he said, that the organisation face at the moment, and that they have a new purpose to try and maintain younger people in rural Ireland and stop them, I suppose, flocking to cities. And I also spoke to Heather Humphreys after the conference, who said that rural Ireland is actually alive and kicking, and she said that she is optimistic about the future of rural towns and villages, and she said her department are on track for meeting their 400 remote working hubs in rural communities, and she said that ultimately the aim is to try and keep young educated people in rural towns and villages, and for too long she said that we've said goodbye to them. So as well as that, we spoke about the turf regulations and the solid fuel regulations. Seamus Boland again said that a ban on the sale of turf would ultimately cause fuel poverty for the people who rely on turf to heat their homes and don't have any other way of heating their homes at the moment. He said the concentration must be on installing alternative heating systems into these homes rather than concentrating on stopping the burning of turf altogether. Like, he said that only 5% of people in Ireland at the moment burn turf to heat their homes. So he said it's in decline anyway, and emphasised that the government's focus should be on installing alternative of methods for these people to heat their homes.
Very important points, Rachel. And just staying with rural issues for the moment, you've also been talking to Minister for Rural and Community Development, Heather Humphreys. Minister Humphreys told you she's looking to increase the fine for dog owners whose pets are caught attacking livestock. She says it's going to be risen to €5,000. What are her plans?
Yeah, so I suppose last week I reported, Barry, 27 hoggets in South County Tipperary who were killed in a dog attack. Just earlier this week, we got word of another dog attack in County Limerick where 13 sheep were killed, some hoggets and 5 lambs. Both attacks, it is believed that Alsatian dogs were involved. Yeah, so it's rampant at the moment, and farmers are suffering. And I said to Minister Heather Humphreys, what is her department going to do for these farmers that are suffering these attacks? For instance, the farmer I spoke to in County Tipperary, Michael Coyne, he's farming for the last 30 years, and he can recall 10 or 11 dog attacks in that time. You know, so I put this to Heather Humphreys, and I said, what can her department do to help these farmers? And she spoke about the fine of $2,500, which is in place already, and she said she was going to look at increasing it to $5,000. So I suppose that is quite significant. But then again, on the other hand, I spoke to Sean Lavery, who's the Limerick IFA County Chair, and he said the current fine of $2,500 is perfectly adequate if it was enforced. And he said to me that he doesn't believe anyone has received the fine of $2,500 yet, let alone increasing it to $5,000. You know, so I suppose if there was more enforcement there around that law, we might see less dog attacks in the future.
Thanks, Rachel. Look, I think we also saw the Irish Natural and Hill Farmers Association out this week with a survey talking about, I suppose, the attitudes of public trying to access farmland and hillland, and some farmers getting in a bit of bother, you know, when they ask public to keep their dogs on the leads or to, you know, to remove themselves from the land. And they're getting, I suppose, a lot of talk back and, protest from the public. You'd imagine, look, something's going to have to be done about it. I mean, hopefully Heather Humphrey steps up to the plate there. That's brilliant, Rachel. Thanks very much. Look, changing the subject altogether now, our livestock team's Niamh Gunn spoke to Chelsea Cox MacDonald, the new secretary of the FBD National Livestock Show in Tullamore in Jim Guigan's farm in County Westmeath this week. Chelsea tells us what's to come for this year's Tullamore show. It's great to see it back in the calendar, and we hear from both of them now.
Today we are at the National Tullamore Show launch in County Westmeath. So, Chelsea, how does it feel to be heading up Ireland's largest livestock show?
Hi, Niamh. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant feeling to be heading up the National Livestock Show. I've worked for them for quite some time now. So, the enthusiasm is great this year. It's brilliant to be back, and I can't wait to get the show on the road.
And what was it like in 2020 and 21 with no shows?
So it was very challenging, I suppose, both for us and then the exhibitor showing the animal in the showing ring for not having anything to do over the summer. So I would have, I suppose, looked at our entry system, see how we could tweak that. We looked at different classes possible and what we can do with the programme going forward for 22.
And what has been happening over the last few months in preparation for the show?
Okay, so what we have done is we put together what we call a scheduler programme of classes. So this contains all our classes for exhibitors to enter on the day. We've opened trade stands now, which are flying in, which is great. We have a full agenda of what we're going to do on show day, and then getting our team, the executive, back together so that we can plan for 22.
And tell us what the job of a show secretary is all about.
Okay, so the job is quite challenging at times, but very rewarding in the end. There's an awful lot to organise, I suppose, in terms of our trade stands, our competitors, sponsors, memberships, and the list goes on. But it's very rewarding, and I love the job.
Okay, Chelsea, tell us what is new about the FBD National Livestock Show in Tullamore this year.
So this year we have extended our programme in the sheep section, adding new breeds such as the Dashkin Top, Blue Texel and Spotted Dutch. We've also added the pig classes in, so we have Pig All-Ireland of the Year. We have a new team heading up the equine section, so they have also changed and added new classes in. We have added a production class in the dairy section, so the programme is quite full and we have loads of new classes for people.
And it's clear that the excitement is really building up out there with exhibitors. So are you expecting entries to be up this year?
Yes, so at the moment we actually have opened our entries online today. So the entries can be done online. So we are hoping for a number of extra classes, obviously in the new classes and the new breeds. So yes, we would hope that our entries will be up this year with the return to the show and ring.
And can you give us the important dates for closing entries, how people can enter, and when the show is taking place?
Okay, so the show is taking place on Sunday the 14th of August at the Butterfield Estate in Blue Ball. The closing date for entries is the 6th of July online and the 1st of July hard copy. We also have our closing date for trade stands, which is coming up quite shortly, so that's the 20th of May.
That's Chelsea Cox MacDonald speaking to the Irish Farmers Journal at the Tullamore Show launch. You can read more about the shows in our special shows and showing page supplement inside this week's Irish Farmers Journal. Thanks, Chelsea.
Thank you, Niamh.
Folks, look, that's all we have time for this week. Remember, you can also tune into our Down to Argue Business podcast, where this week Jack Kennedy, Anne Finnegan and Phelan O'Neill discuss the latest agribusiness stories. More on their stories and everything discussed today in this week's paper. Thanks for listening and talk to you the next time.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.